careful to hold.
The world's largest tennis racket in honor of Guru's 81st birthday. Right, it's 81st?
Yeah. You know, Papaha said this is something that had been percolating around for a while.
Okay, then
it's not something that came up in the last few months, but it's been kind of brewing for years, maybe.
We've been thinking about it. I mean, it just, you know, Guru loves tennis, and, you know, Guru gave us a lot of joy playing tennis, and he got a lot of joy playing tennis, and we thought by making the world's largest tennis racket, we would give other people joy.
Well, now, how did you come across the size? I mean, at some point you say, this is as big as we can do it, or...
No, well, there is a 43-foot tennis racket in Australia.
Not official, though, right?
That's right, not official. So we just said, no, 50 is a nice round number. And, you know, it was basically sort of, you know, given the time that we had, it was pretty much, you know, as big as we could do.
Now, when you ask Guinness, look, can we make the biggest tennis racket? They said, yeah, or okay, or are you kidding me? I mean, what was their reaction when you asked them if you could do it?
No, they don't say, are you kidding? I mean
they've seen it all, so they're not going to...
They've seen it all, believe me. So, no, you know, they are serious about it. They just want to make sure that it was done properly. Like, they did give us permission to use a wood racket as the model because, you know, most rackets, they don't use wood rackets anymore. So we're patterning this racket after an old-fashioned wood racket. Because we have to make it out of the same exact material. So that was the conditions, that it has to be completely to scale and made out of the same exact materials. So, you know, it's a huge challenge, but it's going to be amazing when it's done.
Well, like, how many guys, I mean, there's a bunch of guys here. It's not the middle of the night, but it's really dark. How many guys are out here right now, would you say?
Oh, I think maybe about 10. But, you know, we've had crews up to 15 or, you know, maybe up to 20. Things were running out of time. You know, we have less than 24 hours. So, anyway, but I think it's going to work.
Okay. You know. Now, you have a big crane that's going to hold it up tomorrow. Is it the same crane guys that picked up the lollipop?
Yeah.
The craneologist.
Yeah.
Now, for people who don't understand what tennis meant to Guru, you were there. You played him a lot of times. I mean, many, many, many times. And he got real joy out of playing this sport, right?
Yeah, Guru just loved it. Yeah.
Why do you think it was so much, he spent so much time and enjoyed playing it for so many years and for so often?
Well, Guru is an athlete, and I think he just loved, you know, to move. And Guru made progress. Guru got better and better, you know, until his knees started getting bad. And I think it's also a way for Guru to relate to people. I mean, in other words, you might say, you know, on a human level, you know, where Guru can sort of interact with a person, you know, on a human level. And you know, it's a tremendous blessing to be able to play with Guru. So, I mean, and then it gave, you know, the people watching Guru, gave them tremendous joy, you know, watching him. So, you know, it was... something. It was a way that Guru showed his love and concern and affection for people, and you know, Guru just loved the exercise and you know, Guru was almost like an entertainer when he was playing tennis. You know, he would do a great lob or a drop shot, and you know, it was just, you know, so much fun just watching Guru.
But when you're the other guy, the other side of the court, and you see your Guru hitting the ball towards you, you know, that's quite a unique experience. I mean, and can you relate what that was like to be there on the other side of the court? Or,
well, the thing is, you're not thinking. Guru's making you run like crazy, especially if you're not that good, which I wasn't. You're just constantly just, you know, running from side to side and front to back. And so, you know, there's no thoughts. You're just, like, in the moment trying to get the ball back, you know.
So this project is coming along, and you're working things out. I mean, you can't plan for everything. Some of the guys said that some things just, they come up with solutions now. But basically, we're on the, in terms of the getting it done, we're like on the bottom edge, or it's mostly there. It's...
I don't know what to say. You know, somehow it'll get done. You know, I think we'll do it, you know. Sure. I mean, the big work is done, really. You know, now it's sort of like, you might say, more finishing touches, although, you know, it was quite a bit of fun finishing touches to do, but, you know, I think we're there. I mean, we still have to get it down there, but I think we're not going to do that till tomorrow. And, you know.
Have you got to the fun part yet, or are you still worried, or are you just, it's just happening?
It's not really fun. you know, it's stressful, but you know, when it's done, it's fun. You know, when it's finished, but the actual process, you know, again, you know, but I wouldn't say it's fun, but it's rewarding and it feels good, you know, to work. You know,
Trita, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.